work on a sound level here just a second here. Don't like the sound level. Testing, testing, testing. That's better. The name of the sermon today is Longanimity. Longanimity. A couple of years ago, I saw a movie with Ed Harris and Colin Farrell that was based on a true event. The name of the movie is The Way Back. It is the story of a Polish Army lieutenant who was imprisoned in the Siberian Gulag after being captured when both Germany and Russia invaded Poland in 1941. And if you know anything about history, Germany had made a pact with Russia that they would share Poland. So apparently this Polish lieutenant got grabbed up by the Russians and sent to the Gulag. The lieutenant and six others escape and begin a 4,000-mile march to freedom. Their journey takes them from Siberia into the Gobi Desert, which is 500,000 square miles and very dry, then into Tibet and the Himalayas and into India. Watching the movie is pure drudgery because it pulls you into the monumental struggle they each had to face. They went through an area with nothing but high humidity and mosquitoes, and I'm talking you couldn't see the people for the mosquitoes, it was so bad, and then into one of the hottest deserts in the world with no water. From there, they went into the Himalayas with its ice, snow, and freezing temperatures. What impressed me throughout the movie was the simple fact that they never gave up. They kept going and going despite the daily hardships. To me, this was the very picture of what the Bible calls long-suffering. You need to see this movie, and you need to understand what the Word of God has to say about long-suffering. It is time for us to become experts at long-suffering. So your admonition for the day is be an expert in long-suffering. Let's begin with looking at the definition of the word long-suffering and its related terms. The name of the sermon is longanimity, which means enduring, injury, trouble, or provocation, long and patiently. And long and patient endurance of injury, trouble, or provocation, years of long-suffering and illness. The origin of that word goes back to 1520. Related forms, long-suffering means enduring pain and unhappiness without complaint. And the noun of that word means long and patient endurance. Longanimity is a noun meaning patient endurance of hardships, injuries, or offense, forbearance. Its origin goes back to 1400, late Middle English. Related forms is longa imus, which is an adjective. Is anybody noticing the similarity between the this definition and the one on patience, which was the subject of my sermon on equanimity? Patience is a noun, the quality of being patient as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. Two, an ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay, to have patience with a slow learner. And it means quiet, steady perseverance, even-tempered care, diligence, to work with patience. So let us recap what we've learned from all these dictionaries. Number one, enduring injury, trouble, or provocation, long and patiently. Two, long and patient endurance. Three, enduring pain, unhappiness without complaint. Four, forbearance. Five, bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, or irritation. Six, the ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance. Seven, quiet, steady perseverance. And eight, diligence to work with patience. So clearly God wants us to be long-suffering. The question, though, is God long-suffering? Let's go to Exodus 34 and verse 6. Exodus 34 and verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Now to Numbers 14 and verse 18. Numbers 14 and verse 18. This is Moses pleading for the lives of the children of Israel. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Psalms 86 and verse 15. Psalms 86 and verse 15, and this is David praying to God at a time when he was poor and needy. Says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plentiful in mercy and truth. Notice the word long-suffering in the commentary. Not only to wicked men, but to his chosen one. So this is God's long-suffering. God's long-suffering is not only to wicked men, but to his chosen ones. Which long-suffering of his is salvation to them. He bears with them and waits to be gracious to them, to bring them to repentance and to save them. 2 Peter 3:9, the reference is. And the quoted verse, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You got to think about this in historical terms. Man doesn't know too much about peace, does he? He doesn't know too much about tranquility and compassion and the things. We're seeing nothing but war and murder and terrorism in the news today. And how does this square with the plan God has for mankind? He's trying to bring everybody into the family of God, but he has to let man do these things. He has to let them be angry and mean and conduct war and terrorism and all the crimes that we see in the news. He's long-suffering in that way because he knows it's for a purpose. Man has to find out that life without God doesn't work. So God doesn't like what he's seeing. He doesn't like children dying. He doesn't like people raped. He doesn't like any of these things, but he's been long suffering with that because he is looking at the end game when everybody will have their chance at salvation and he will have the family that he desires. So he is being long suffering with us in more ways than one. He's being long suffering with the people in the world, and he's conducting long suffering with us in the salvation process. Not an easy process, is it? Jeremiah 15 and verse 15. Jeremiah 15 and verse 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. All four verses use the Hebrew word H750. With its definition, long-suffering, patient, and slow to anger. Clearly, God is being slow to anger. Let us go to the New Testament on this question of whether God is long-suffering. Romans 2 and verse 4. Romans 2 and verse 4. Speaking of God, after Paul admonishes us not to judge others of the same sins we commit. Romans 2, 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So without God's long-suffering, we wouldn't have that chance at repentance, would we? Romans 9 and verse 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. So Paul is speaking of God's dealing with the children of Israel and how he could easily have shown his wrath upon them many times, but rather dealt with them in long suffering. When you read some of these stories of the stupidity of man and the stupidity of the children of Israel, you wonder just how he was able to invoke that much long suffering. But it's serving a purpose not only for him, but also for us, so we can follow his example. 2 Peter 3:9, mentioned in the commentary we had on Psalms 86:15, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. That's why, with this long-suffering, that's what he's telling us. He doesn't want any of us to perish. And those that do end up perishing, they will have had a lot of long-suffering from God. And so it's like the last thing he wants to see is the second death of any individual. Are we to invoke long-suffering? Let us begin with some scripture speaking to ministers. 2 Corinthians 6, I'm going to read verses 4 through 6. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, and by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned. I guess that's a good verse to see that it isn't easy being a minister. Galatians 5:22, fruits of the Spirit. And it's Galatians 5:22 showing that long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit is kind of key to how you are going to be able to invoke long-suffering, because we're going to have a portion of this sermon that's going to speak to how do I get there. I can almost understand invoking love and joy and peace, but how do I invoke long-suffering? How do I do that? What can I do to make that easier? We're going to find out. Galatians 5:22, fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. The more you study into the fruits of the Spirit, you're going to find out you can't leave any out. You cannot leave any of the fruits of the Spirit. You leave one out, it's going to affect the others. They're all dovetailed to each other. They're all linked to each other. And so we have to become an expert in all of these. And today we're learning about becoming an expert at long-suffering. Ephesians 4. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Note the commentary on verse 2 and the word long suffering. This from the John Gill says, bearing much and long with the infirmities of each other, without being easily provoked to anger by any ill usage, and not immediately meditating and seeking revenge for every affront given or injury done. And so to walk is to walk worthy of the grace of calling or agreeable to it. Kind of an interesting turn of phrase there, that we have been called by God, we are to walk in agreement with that calling. To God that calls by his grace, who is long-suffering both with wicked men and with his own people. Colossians 1. I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. This is Paul speaking to and encouraging members at Colossae. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Let me read verse 11 again. I want you to make sure you catch all those key words. strengthened with all might. So we've been called into the salvation process, and for all these fruits of the Spirit, along with all the other elements of the salvation process, he is strengthening us with all might. Is that some might? No, it says all might. So is there anything you can't do? It says according to his glorious power, everything according to his will and his power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So he's asking us to be patient and long suffering along with joyfulness. So we're going to have to see, this again shows you linkage between the fruits of the Spirit. The only way we're going to be able to do long suffering and to be patient is with joyfulness. We're going to have to invoke that at the same time. So you're going to have to call it a joyful patience or joyful long suffering. You're going to have to bring that joy in if you want to make it work. So we manifest patience and long suffering by the power of the Holy Spirit. We will see this confirmed in a moment. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Still in Colossians, and Paul is still offering admonition and encouragement. So it's Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. 1 Timothy 1:16, and these next three verses are all from 1 and 2 Timothy in verses, two of them that we have had lessons on, and one we're about to. We're about to. 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So Jesus Christ showed long-suffering with us. God the Father showed long-suffering with us. The ministry shows long-suffering with us. And we are to do the same thing. 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. Remember, we just had that lesson not too long ago. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. So Paul was able to state that he did show long-suffering. And the more you study about Paul's life, I always look at him as being the expert in apostasy and understanding how false doctrine works and its dangers. But think about the long-suffering that he did have to show, because he would raise up all these churches. He was concerned about them. He wrote letters to them, many more letters than you see in the Bible. And then he went back. He went back to these churches. So a lot of long-suffering to bring these churches along. He had to be long-suffering with the individuals in those churches. And 2 Timothy 4:2, which we'll be getting to in a couple of weeks, preach the word. So this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Oh yeah? How? How am I supposed to do that? With all long-suffering and doctrine. Well, that's interesting, doctrine. I'm to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We're going to see how that plays into it here pretty soon. I want to now look at the relationship between patience and long-suffering. In the sermon Equanimity on the subject of patience, I asked the question, is patience a fruit of the Spirit and therefore produced within us by the power of the Holy Spirit? And of course, I gave you Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. This specifically answers my original question 3 in that sermon, asking whether patience can be invoked. The answer is yes, absolutely. End quote from that sermon. Did anybody read the word patience in that scripture? In 5:22, do you see anything about patience? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Anybody see patience in there? Maybe I should have used some other Bible versions. Let's take a look. The King James, as we just quoted from the sermon, reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Now notice some others. with the understanding that I am no way necessarily recommending any of these versions, but we're using this for contrast so we can see what is going on. The New Living Translation has, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." English Standard Version, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience." New American Standard Bible, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience." Holman Christian Standard Bible, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience." So all of these versions are using patience in place of long suffering. There's a reason for that. International Standard Version, patience. Net Bible, patience. Aramaic Bible in the plain English, patience. The World English Bible, patience. Notice some commentaries on Galatians 5:22, long suffering. In affliction or trial, and when injured by others. From Adam Clark, it says, long-mindedness, bearing with the frailties or provocations others from the consideration that God has borne long with ours. See, so God teaches, he's a certain way with us. He wants us to be that way with others. Yeah, that's putting on Christ. And that if he had not, we should have been speedily consumed. Bearing up also through all of the troubles and difficulties of life without murmuring or repining, submitting cheerfully, there's that joy aspect of it, to every dispensation of God's providence, and thus derived benefit from every occurrence. And isn't that what God is doing with us? He's taking us through one situation after another, one day after the other, you know, one situation after the other, learning things, giving us the opportunity to invoke these fruits of the Spirit. Let's look at the John Gill for long suffering, which intends not so much a patient waiting for good things to come, for more grace and for glory through the Spirit, but a patient bearing and enduring of present evils with joyfulness, being strengthened by the Spirit with all might, according to his glorious power, being slow to anger, ready to forgive injuries, put up with affronts, to bear with and forbear one another, which is usually accompanied with gentleness, humanity, affability, courteousness, shown both in words, gestures, and actions, in imitation of the gentleness of Christ, and agreeably to that wisdom, that heavenly doctrine of the gospel, which among other things is said to be gentle and easily to be entreated. So the more you are immersed in the Word of God, the easier it's going to be for you to invoke this. But in that immersion is going to come knowledge and then understanding. Let's look at James 5:7. Lots of admonitions throughout the Bible for all of the fruits of the Spirit. James 5:7, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and latter rain." So notice the commentary for the first phrase, "Be patient therefore." The margin here is, "Be long patient," or "suffer with long patience." The sense of the Greek is, "Be long suffering," or "Let not your patience be exhausted." Your courage, vigor, and forbearance is not to be short-lived, but it is to be enduring. Think of those prisoners that had escaped from the prison and had to walk across the Gobi Desert. I was watching that. And like I said, the movie pulls you right into it, to where you're suffering like they are. And you're sitting there dumbfounded on how they're able to do this. They didn't even have canteens. At one point, they were able to find a source of water, but all they had was open cans. And they had to rig a way to carry as many of these cans, open cans, as they could with the water in it. And I said, man, what drudgery. Who wants to go through this? You know, but they just stayed with it. They never complained. I can't remember a scene where anybody complained. And I think to the scene where they were hiding in the woods, they were afraid to see with anybody, and they were being hit with all these mosquitoes, and it was just a horrible, horrible scene of millions of mosquitoes coming in on them, and there's nothing that they could do about it until they sat there in their patience very quietly, and they watched some people walk by that weren't being bothered by the mosquitoes. And they took great risk, but they were patient. They were long-suffering. And one of them ran out to one of these villagers and said, "How are you doing that?" And he came back, and he had the way, and it had to do with a plant that was growing nearby that they could actually put the plant, put it on their clothes, hang it around their neck, and the mosquitoes would stay away. So through patience and long-suffering, they were able to get to the solving of that problem. And it was like that all the way through the journey. It was still a wonder. And nothing, every hardship that came upon them, and not everybody made it, by the way. Not everybody made it. And so they had to put up with death along the trail. And so they had to put up with just about everything you could imagine. And it was a great lesson for me. So if you ever get a chance to see that movie, The Way Back, be sure to see it. So again, the margin here, be long patience and suffer with long patience. The sense of the Greek is be long suffering, or let not your patience be exhausted. Your courage, vigor, and forbearance, see that right there, the courage, vigor, and forbearance is not to be short-lived. When these guys were crossing the Gobi Desert, they had courage and vigor all the way. They never gave up. They just never gave up. There was no reason for them to be able to make it across the Gobi Desert. It just was none. They were the first ones ever to try it in the way that they did. It says, but we are to be enduring. Let it continue as long as there's need of it, even to the coming of the Lord. Then you will be released from sufferings. That from Barnes Notes. The Greek words for long suffering are Greek words G3114 and G3115. The latter is what we see in James 5:7, and the next three verses I give you. G3114, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It's MakroThumeo. It says from the Greek 3116, to be long-spirited, that is, forbearing or patient, bear long, suffer long, be long-suffering, have long patience, be patient, patiently endure. And the Greek 3115, which is MakroThumia, also from 3116, longanimity, that's where we got the title. So the Greek 3115, the meaning is longanimity, which is the title of this sermon. That is objectively forbearance, or subjectively fortitude, long-suffering and patience. We see the words long-suffering and patience virtually the same. Here are three verses I promise. 2 Corinthians 6:6. 2 Corinthians 6:6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned. Again, we're linking a whole set of principles of God together. This idea of knowledge with long suffering. We couldn't take 2 Corinthians 6:6 and say, well, let's take the knowledge out. No, we need to immerse ourselves into the Word of God. We need to immerse ourselves into things that reflect, as we're going to see, the Word of God, principles of God. There are things out there that we can fill our minds with. We're supposed to be bringing in the good, not just the Word of God, but there's other good things out there that can be linked back to the principles and the scriptures of God. And so, by pureness, now what is the pureness part? That means if I'm going to try to bring in the good, I want to make sure that's mostly what I'm bringing in. So I got to start, especially us older guys and ladies, we need to, at this point in our lives, be getting rid of all the negative stuff as much as we can. And I'm talking about images, television, you know, videos, anything that we read, things that we could get ourselves caught up in that would be negative. So there's all kinds of negative things out there. We need to get rid of more and more of them. That's by pureness. That means my approach to, in this case, becoming an expert at long suffering, I need to have a pure way to get there. I need to come up with a way to where pureness is coming my way. More and more positive stuff is coming my way. So it says by pureness, and then right after that it says by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, another fruit of the Spirit, all by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, we've given this verse already, forbearing one another in love. In Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now, these are repeated scriptures from this sermon, but these are the ones using the words I just gave you. Notice the last verse uses both patience and long suffering. Let me read that again. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering. Well, we've shown that these words are almost interchangeable, as you saw in all those versions of the Bible for using patience for long suffering. So what are we seeing when we see patience and long suffering in the same verse? Notice this last verse uses both patience and long suffering and says that we must invoke these with all joyfulness. That's what it says there in Colossians 1:11. Patience is the Greek word G5281, and it's H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. Hupomone, I can't say that. Anyway, it means cheerful or hopeful. Those guys that were crossing the desert, they had a hope. They had a goal. They knew where they were going. They had to get to India. From India, they could get passage back to England. Most of them were from England. So it says cheerful or hopeful. Has to be one or both of those as you proceed. It says endurance, constancy. That means in all that you're doing, this pureness that you're bringing in, there has to be a constancy of bringing in the positive, you know, good images, good thoughts, scriptures, constantly bringing this in. Enduring, patience, patient continuance, which is a form of waiting. Part of the reason we see both patience and long-suffering used in this verse is to support the idea of the admonition to do this with joy. Look at the context of the verse, Colossians 1, beginning in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I would think right there, when you have epiphanies, as you mature in the salvation process, you're coming up against deeper understanding, which gives rise to wisdom. So it says, filled with all knowledge of his will, and then it says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's because that's what follows. First knowledge, then spiritual understanding given over to wisdom. How do I proceed? The question today is, how do I become an expert at long suffering? I'm going to give you one tool. There are many ways we could talk about, well, what is the substance of these positive images and positive sounds and positive things that I'm bringing into my mind? I'm not talking about positive thinking. That's a stupid pull yourself up by your bootstraps movement. So when I talk about bringing in the positive, I'm talking from God, from godly principles. It's a form of immersing yourself in the Word of God. It's not about thinking happy thoughts. And, you know, there's a big difference between the positive thinking movement and bringing in the pure, you know, the pure thoughts of God, the pure concepts of God. And you can see that easily with any knowledge you have of the Bible. The Bible is continually giving us admonitions to think on good things, isn't it? Verse 10 of Colossians 1, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. That's another way of saying invoking all of the fruits of the Spirit. Every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So there you see the context. So be an expert in long-suffering. Now, some practical information on patience and long-suffering. In other words, how do we get there? The following is merely a suggestion that happens to have worked wonders with me. So I stumbled into this, and I knew what I was doing when I went in. I did not know that it was actually going to be a good tool for me to have patience and long-suffering. I have already shared with you my relationships with the Sounds Good Company, whose sole purpose is identifying music with lyrics that are positive, edifying, and uplifting. And in a lot of cases, go directly back to the Word of God and use biblical verses in the music or biblical concepts, biblical principles in the music. To qualify as a Sounds Good song, it can have no lyrics that leave you feeling the least bit negative. The words and the message of the song must promote your best moods, your best attitudes, your best thoughts, and continual tranquility of the mind. Have you ever done a study about the power of music on the human mind? Witness David playing for King Saul. He was having massive headaches all the time, so he had David play music for him, and his headaches would go away. Would you say that music has a power? Why did God give us music? Why does God have praises and music always in his presence? He has the angels singing to him and praising him all of the time. Why is he doing that? Have you ever thought about, doesn't this get boring? And actually, it does not. First of all, it's infinite in its presentation. So it's not like the same song over and over again. But God is hearing wonderful sounds. He himself is working with bringing in the good. This is why he doesn't even want to be in a location where a sin happened. So if a sin happened on some piece of land here on earth 50 years ago, 5,000 years ago, he won't go there. He's not going to go there, and he's not coming back to this earth until it's burned 7 times with fire and melted, so all of that goes away. He's going to purify the earth before he sets foot on it, because nothing but sin has been going on down here. So what that is showing you, that God, I only want the positive. I only want the good. I don't want to look at anything evil. And so if God is this way, we need to be this way. I currently have a number of songs in my own internet FM radio station. You can make a station too. There's a place for you to go. You can make your own radio station. And you can go, it makes it real, real easy. I put this whole station together in less than a half an hour because I knew what music I wanted in my radio station. They make it real easy for you to go find it. And all you have to do, oh, there's the song I was looking for. There's the person I want singing that song. And all you have to do is click on it, and it's in your radio station. And anybody there, then you can invite all your friends to go to your station. I'm going to invite you to come listen to mine. So I can listen anytime. I have all the music on CDs and play them in the car and as I go to sleep at night. I am actually force-feeding my mind with all things good, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. What I have noticed is that fewer and fewer things in this life bring me sorrow, sadness, worry, or anxiousness. Do this, and you may, for the first time in your life, see the real power of music. Try it yourself and see if I'm not right on this. And then I give you the internet address to my FM station. There you will find songs with such titles as A Beautiful Morning, Win, Feeling Good, Going the Distance, Fly Like a Bird, Top of the World, I Made It Through the Rain, and Wind Beneath My Wings. Notice some quotes on the power of music. Music touches us emotionally where words alone can't. Music is the language of the spirit. It opens the secrets of life, bringing peace, abolishing strife. And that's exactly what the Sounds Good Music does for me. I have 72 songs up there. Music is an agreeable harmony for the honor of God and the permissible delights of the soul. The devil, the originator of sorrowful anxieties and restless troubles, flees before the sound of music almost as much as before the Word of God. Music is a gift and grace of God, not an invitation, not the invention of man. Thus, it drives out the devil and makes people cheerful. Then one forgets all wrath, impurity, and other devices. I have found that no matter what life throws at me, music softens the blow. And we all go through some form of sorrow and disappointment every day. But I found over a period of time when I started playing the music over and over again, never get tired of it. You never get tired of positive music, I'm telling you, because it makes you feel good. Something is happening. This music is doing something, like these quotes are saying. It touches us emotionally. It goes to the spirit. It's the language of the spirit. So something is happening. There is a response to everything that you do. There's cause and effect. So what is going to happen in your life if you're continually ferreting out all the negative music and only going to listen to positive music? What are we going to do with television shows? You know, find only the ones that have something edifying in them. Find other things that bring edification to the soul. Music is one. And so what I have found is I would go through my day and there'd be some disappointment, something that would bring me anxiety or worry. And I felt, well, I can handle that. I mean, that was the thought that came to my mind. I said, that's not so bad. I said, why am I saying that? What's happening in my life that I'm kind of going along with putting up with the disappointments and having to invoke long suffering? It sure is easier now. Why is that? And then I was able to bring it back to the music. So be an expert in long-suffering and patience. Begin with virtuous music and feeding your brain true thoughts. Notice this from the Word of God, and I've already given you a hint of this verse, Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So good music is virtuous and lovely and of good report, the music that I picked. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. You're going to see this verse maybe a little different than you have before. We usually give this verse in regards to doctrine, and that's what it's there for, but there's something else going on in this verse. Because the Word of God is very intricate, and we can look at it 80 different ways and find something new in it. But 1 Thessalonians 5:21, which you probably have memorized, is prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. What do you mean, all things? Biblical things? Doctrine? It says prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Where did God put you? He put you on an earth that is currently being ruled by Satan. But there are some good things down here. God has allowed there to be good things on the earth. Beginning with music. Beginning with thought. And so despite the ruler of this world, you and I can have good thoughts. So it says, prove all things. To what end? What am I proving all things for? Well, it's easy to say doctrine. You know, prove the doctrines, But it doesn't say prove the doctrine. It says prove all things. Because God knows that you're physical, have a human brain, human nature, and you're having to put up with all the disappointments of this life. So he says, prove all things. To what end is the question? That which is good. So find what is good in all things, and then hold fast to that. So I have done that with music. I've gone out there and I says, what is good in the music? I'm proving it. And I actually go to the president of Sounds Good Company and I give him the lyrics. I says, does this one? I'm not going to put it in my radio station until I get permission from him, because he is the expert in Sounds Good music. So I've been submitting. I've added some since maybe the last time I talked about that FM station, and you might have gone over there. There's more music over there because I find more, and I submit it to them. And they write back, that's a good one, put it in your station. So I have gone about proving all things in music, and I continue to look for music that is good. It says, for good, Barnes Note says, hold fast that which is good, which is in accordance with reason, spiritual reason in your case, and the Word of God, which is adapted to promote the salvation of the soul and the welfare of society. Good music with good words does this. And now take that reasoning and take it over to other ideas. Literature, poems, television shows, radio shows, the news, everywhere. Another commentary for hold fast that which is good. Honest, pleasant, profitable, and agreeable to sound doctrine. And so what you're going to see, if you go over to the radio station and play those songs, you're going to see things that are in agreement with the principles of God and sound doctrine. You're going to hear some songs that are quoting the Bible. You're going to see a song, I played one before services today, about have faith in everything you do. That's one of the songs that's at the radio station, the one I played for you. So agreeable to sound doctrine, to the analogy of faith and the scriptures of truth, and is useful and edifying, instructive both as to principle and practice. Such should be held fast, that no man take it away and be retained. I don't know if I'm ever going to be thrown into a prison. Could happen. Who knows what's going to happen in the tribulation. But music and good images are going to get me through it. So good music, good images, good thoughts are of faith and the scriptures. They are continually edifying to those who hold and embrace them. They should be held fast and retained for the simple reason they push all negative things out. When you bring in the good, the negative has to go out. I was in Canada one time. I was visiting the church in Vancouver. And we heard that there was one of the members there that was in the hospital. Not only was he in the hospital, but he was basically on his deathbed. Hey, I said to those that were gathered with me that had traveled up from Seattle to go to Vancouver, says, let's go cheer him up. Well, we went in there. He was in a room with three other guys. And by the time we left, I turned to everybody and I said, we didn't do a thing to cheer him up. He cheered us up because he knew he was dying, but he was sitting there and all he was doing, he had a set player and he had his headphones, so it wouldn't bother anybody else. And he had a massive amount of tapes, Garner Ted Armstrong sermons, radio programs, and positive music. And he was just continually playing these things. So when we were there trying to cheer him up, he was filling us with faith. That's all he had in him. All this positive, good natured. He was happy. He was full of joy, even though he knew he was dying. I was so moved by that. I've never forgotten it. So the questions I have for you is, where do actions originate? Where do they originate? Where do attitudes begin? Where do moods reside? Where are your problems solved? Where does success begin? Where does love reside and flourish? Where are the fruits of the Spirit invoked? The answer to all seven of these questions is the mind. Doesn't your spiritual logic and the scriptures I just read speak to the idea of protecting that mind and cultivating that mind and having that mind holding and embracing only good things? Where is impatience born? Where is anger born? Where are annoyance, anxiety, restlessness, agitation, irritability, and rashness born? They all originate in the mind. When they all are allowed to begin their growth in the mind, there is a lack of long-suffering and patience. Long-suffering and patience are fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is hampered in any mind that is full of negative thoughts. Paul is clearly stating in Philippians and in 1 Thessalonians that we must fill our mind with positive images, literature, concepts, thoughts, and scriptures. I have given you an example of how to bring in good music with its positive words, moods, attitudes, and truths. Some of those songs will bring tears to your eyes. Do the same with all those other things, such as images, literature, and thoughts. If you do this, your long-suffering and your patience will not be hampered. Indeed, both will become strong in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You will be conforming to the image of Christ. What does God's word say about music? Since we've been giving you one tool, music, what does God's word say about music? Psalms 105. In verse 2, Psalm 105 and verse 2, sing unto him with psalms unto him, talk you of all his wondrous works. How could you be talking or thinking about all the wondrous works of God? We do that in some of the videos we show before class. We look at the wondrous works of God. If some of you are around for the wonderments of nature that I showed, it was just outstanding. And if you're, that's more positive things you're bringing in. It was wonderful positive images that we were bringing in. It says wondrous works. That's a good thing. If I'm filling my mind with wondrous works, you know, I'm doing a good thing to myself. So God loves good music. Ephesians 5:19. Because where do we talk to ourselves? We talk to ourselves in our minds, don't we? Our conscious mind. We're talking to ourselves all the time. You know, the mind never stops talking. Never does. It's always thinking. And so Ephesians 5:19, God knows this. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That idea of spiritual songs, since I use that as an example, I said that the music that I chose reflected spiritual concepts. A number of them use lines from the Bible and principles from the Bible. Where is that music? Since it says in Ephesians 5:19, it says, speak yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, where is that music? It's in the heart. The scripture clearly speaks to playing this good music to yourselves. Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do you see why all that music is making it so the sorrows and disappointments of day-to-day life are not bothering me near the way they used to? Because I'm bringing in all this music. Good and positive music in our hearts is praise to God. Ever think about that? When you bring in scripture, all that positive scripture of God, all the positive thoughts of God, you are actually giving praise to God. When you bring in any positive image, that's praise to God. When you look at his nature, so when you look at any of these films and videos you can see on nature, That's you, just your viewing it is praise to God, because you are in wonderment. And if you're in wonderment to that, you're looking at like that video that we saw of the owl coming in to his perch, and it was coming in slow motion. I was just in awe of that. I mean, your mouth, your jaw drops. You're in awe of that. And what's really going on in your heart is you're praising God. You're thanking God for that, because your mind knows that that came from God. And when I was looking at some of those electron microscope viewings of things that we can't see with our naked eye, you're just in wonderment. You're in awe. I said, it came to my mind as I was watching it before class. I said, hey, you know, I said, that is, God really had to think that one through. How did he do that? I mean, his mind is so infinite to come with, like the way that a spider spins a web, and how the filaments coming out of the body of that spider are actually stronger than steel. It's just, you're just sitting there in awe, you know, and in just viewing that, you're giving praise to God. So good and positive musics in your heart is praise to God. All things that are good, pure, and just are praise to God, because they help us to conform to the image of Christ. Here are some quotes on patience and long-suffering. Patience, persistence, and perspiration make an unbeatable combination for success. That from Napoleon Hill. Our patience will achieve more than our force. Patience is not simply the ability to wait, it's how we behave while we're waiting. Have patience with all things, but chiefly have patience with yourself. Do not lose courage in considering your own imperfections, but instantly set about remedying them. Every day, begin the task anew. That's why we do our assiduity prayers, putting everything into the hands of God. Never think that God delays our good or God's denials. Hold on, says, hold on, hold fast, hold out. Patience is genius. Good ideas are not adopted automatically. They must be driven into practice with courageous patience. Face your deficiencies. This is Helen Keller saying this. Face your deficiencies and acknowledge them, but do not let them master you. Do you think anybody let her blindness and deafness master her? Absolutely not. Let them teach you patience, sweetness, insight. I want to meet this woman someday. So go now and be an expert in long suffering.